Today we're going to look at a group of three people, but we're going to look specifically at one person named Mark, and we'll look at him and examine a little bit of what he added to Paul's life. The first week we talked about people that were encouragers in your life. Last week we talked about people whose story of transformation is inspiring to you. And every time you think about it, it reminds you God can radically change lives and redeem people. And this week we're going to look at the idea of comfort. So I have a confession to make. I almost brought my comforter with me. Now, you may have a comforter that you wrap up with when you're watching TV or watching a movie or something like that. I have a comforter, Carolyn says, whenever I do jobs around the house. It's a little blue rag. And for some reason, I will carry it when I'm mowing the yard or when I'm working outside. I've got a little blue rag tucked in my pocket. I don't know if it's... Maybe it's my farmer heritage. I was never a farmer, but somewhere this blue rag always shows up. And invariably, as I'm doing work around the house, getting ready for host guests, the blue rag will still be in my pocket. And so invariably, Carolyn has to say, get rid of your baby blanket and put it away. Let's clean up. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but invariably around you, there is something or someone who is a reliable source of encouragement and comfort to you. Today, we're especially going to look at the people who, when you were in a difficult time, they came and provided comfort for you. I remember one time in one of our ministries, Carolyn was sick. And I was trying to take care of her and of our kids, which added to her sickness and worry, anxiety. But it was a Sunday school class at our church. It was overwhelming that they came and provided meals for us. They helped clean. They did a number of things for us while Carolyn was sick for about a week. And I remember this incredible feeling of overwhelming unbelief, resolution of the anxiety that we had, that meals were prepared each day. People had gone under extra effort to provide a meal for themselves, their own family, and then for us, and brought a delicious meal that we were able to share together as a family. And they provided comfort. I remember one time in ministry, a fellow minister down the road, about 7 miles down the road from where Carol and I were ministering, provided comfort for us as we were dealing with some conflict going on in a church. I remember one time coming out of a Bible study at our church and smelling skunk all over around. And everybody, it's kind of dark on a fall evening, and everybody's wondering where that skunk had been. I opened my car door, and there was skunk smell all over in my car. And it was a simple salt of the earth farmer who said, let me drive that car home. You take my car. And he provided aid for us as we drove the 21 miles down to our house. Now, I don't know who it is in your life that when you think of, man, I was in a difficult situation and God provided somebody who provided comfort for me. They just filled the gap. And they probably don't even know how much of a difference that made in my life. But they were a reliable comforter for me. So today, we're going to acknowledge that role. We're going to look at that a little bit more. And we're going to ask God to stimulate in our minds who are the people in our life through the course of our life who've provided that kind of comfort. And we're going to make an effort to make a thank you note to say our gratitude to God for his provision of them and our thanks to them for the role that they played. And then we're going to ask God help to make us that kind of people for others around us. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're going to enter into your word. And we recognize that every time we enter into your word, we get to hear you breathe life, words of life into our heart and soul. So, Father, I pray that you would remove anything that would hinder us from being able to hear your word. And I pray that you would open our ears so that we can hear your voice. Father, open our hearts so that we could fully embrace the truths that you're telling and that we would believe and hold on to them by faith. And then, Father, I pray that you would motivate us, give us the will to be able to speak these words of hope to other people and to be a word of hope to others in times of need. Father, we just acknowledge today as we come to worship, there are troubles, anxieties, hurts, fears, pain, a disappointment, unmet expectations, wounds that people feel even as we gather here today. And so, God, we just pray by your Holy Spirit's power and by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you provide that this place could be a place of hope and comfort in our times of need. So, Father, would you meet us in our need and would you supply us with your comfort? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. There's a verse in Isaiah I want you to look at here on the screen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, where Isaiah the prophet is hearing this echo from heaven, and God is saying to Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. I just want you to think of what that's reflecting. You may not realize it, but the things that you get frustrated with about life that don't seem like it's fair, this isn't the way it's supposed to happen, I don't think this is the way God intended things to be. When you feel that angst, when something ungodly, something difficult is pressing in on your life, when that's happening, your spirit is saying this isn't right. And I want you to know, in heaven, God is saying that's not the way I want it to be. And there's going to be a day when all that stuff's going to be made right. We sang about it this morning, this day when we're going to be able to go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus face to face. And Jesus wants you to be able to place your faith in this confident truth that he came to be our rescuer, our redeemer, so that you could be able to experience the place where there's not wrongs anymore. There's no sin, no darkness, no sickness, no pain, no suffering. In that place, everything's made right. But in heaven, until that point, this is what God is saying. And he's saying it to us who are living in the misery of wrong things happening, painful things happening. God is saying, comfort, comfort, comfort my people. And here on earth, someone notices a need. And not sure exactly what to do, and kind of in a desire to do things maybe out of the limelight, somebody responds to a need that they see. Because the Holy Spirit's been whispering what's been whispered in heaven. The Holy Spirit's whispered in their heart a desire to go bring comfort to somebody who's in need. Now we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Let me give you background again. In this book of Colossians, Paul's writing to a church that's fairly young, about 8 years old. It's been started by a person who came to faith in Jesus Christ when Paul was preaching in Ephesus. And now Paul's writing a letter because that church is facing some struggles because they're getting some false teaching about Jesus and about God's word. And so Paul's in prison in Rome and writing this letter. And as he wraps up this letter, he talks about some of the people that God's placed around him. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says, "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus." Everybody say Aristarchus. Good, okay. We're not sure if he's just hanging out at this prison. Paul's actually in a house under arrest, under Roman guard. We're not sure if Aristarchus has also been arrested as well now and is being kept there, or if he's just enduring the prison with Paul and trying to help Paul out. But Paul calls him a fellow prisoner. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So we're going to look at this a little bit about these three people that Paul is talking to. And he's mentioning that their presence has been a comfort to him. So we don't know if they've been helping to provide errands for him. Paul's kept in the house arrest, and he can't maybe do some of the things or go see some of the people. And maybe these are errand runners for him. Maybe they are providing for some of his needs, helping to connect with the local church there in Rome. We don't know exactly what's going on, but Paul has said they've proven, which means in times of testing, when there was difficulty happen, they proved to be a reliable source of comfort. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life? Who was that for you? Because invariably, I believe in your life, in a time when you desperately needed help, heaven was saying, comfort, comfort my people. And somebody on earth heard that whisper, and the Holy Spirit prompted them to come in and provide exactly what you needed. Maybe it was just their presence. The word comfort actually means to come alongside or to gather. It's like maybe there's a number of people that gather, and it brings solace or relief. It's this idea of misery is soothed when somebody else comes by. Now, you'll remember in the book of Job, Job had three friends come by to talk to him about the trouble that was going on in his life. And do you remember what he called them? Miserable comforters. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life? Yeah. Yeah, so the comforter that is responding to God's call, the comforter is coming to be able to provide relief, not added misery. Now, you've probably had both of those people present in your life, but today I want you to thank God that he placed somebody who came in with relief, solace, encouragement, comfort when you were in trouble. And I want you to recognize that that was not just on their own will. It was something that God was calling out from heaven and by his Spirit was working out in your reality. Who is that person? Maybe it's one or two people. But who was that comforter for you? I want you to notice some things. We don't know a lot about Aristarchus. He's mentioned a couple of times in Scripture. He's evidently a companion with Paul on some of his missionary trips. And now while Paul is in this house arrest in Rome, Aristarchus is with him. We don't know much about this man named Jesus, or also called Justice. He's just mentioned here for the very first time, only time in the Bible. But I want to look at this person called Mark, because we have a book in our Bible that was written by him and bears his name. So let's look and see what the Scripture tells us about this person, Mark, because his story of how he becomes a comforter to Paul is a very interesting story. I want you to look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. There's a couple of places where Mark is mentioned in the Bible. Luke writes about him a couple of times here. In Acts chapter 12, the situation is Peter is in prison. He's about to be beheaded by Herod. Herod had already killed one of the religious leaders, one of the disciples of Jesus named James. And when he saw that it pleased some of the Jewish people, he said, well, I'm going to take Peter too. He arrested Peter. Peter's in prison. The night before that he's going to be beheaded, Peter is woke up in the middle of the night. And he's released from prison. And as he finally gets out through all the gates of the prison and into the city, he finally fully wakes up and says, oh, this isn't just a dream. This is reality. God's delivered me from prison. And he goes to a house where there's some people that are praying. Look at verse 12. When this had dawned on him, on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and they were praying. Okay, so first thing I just want you to acknowledge or know about Mark is that he and his mom, we don't know anything about his father, but he and his mom lived in Jerusalem. They were fairly well-to-do family, evidently, because their home became a gathering place for the early Christians in Jerusalem. And so on this day when Peter's in prison, there's actually a prayer meeting that's happening all night long, and it's happening at Mary's house. Mark is watching all of this happen. We're not sure how old Mark is at this point, but Mark is at least observing a home where there's prayer being prayed for somebody who's in trouble. And actually, this night, he gets to see God do an incredible answer, because in the middle of the night, middle of their prayers, there's a knock on the door, and it's Peter, and he's there. And Mark is seeing God do incredible things as people pray for him to bring comfort to his people. Now, at the end of this chapter, look at verse 30, or 25 of chapter 12. Barnabas and Saul have been in Jerusalem talking about some ministry that's happening at a church in Antioch, about 300 miles away from Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas have come down to Jerusalem to talk about that work. And as they go back up to Antioch, they take Mark with them. Listen to this. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So here's this young man. He's maybe leaving home for the first time, and under the wings of what we know in Colossians, Barnabas is his uncle. Paul is a new believer in Jesus Christ, had been threatening Christians, but now is teaching about Jesus. John Mark is going to follow along with them in their work in Antioch. Now look at chapter 13. In Antioch, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, while they're praying, says, I want you to send Barnabas and Paul on a mission trip. So verse 4 of chapter 13, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and sailed from there to Cyprus, and when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues there. John, okay, who was called Mark? John was with them as their what? Helper. Okay, John is with them as their helper. Okay, so here, let me just say something about this. This is probably 15 years before what Paul's writing, what we're going to read in Colossians. So before Paul talks about John, Mark, as a comforter, Luke identifies Mark as a helper. Now, this word for helper is really an interesting word. It's the kind of idea of a person who does help, hard work help, behind the scenes that nobody really gets to see. So you know some people who are like that. They love to work hard. They love to make good things happen, but they don't tend to like the limelight. In fact, the word comes from the Greek language that gives this idea of ships that are sailing in the ocean or in the sea. And underneath are the oarers, the people who are at the oars. Remember seeing these movies about the oars underneath the boat, the deck? Well, this is the word that's called about the help that those under rowers do. They are below the scenes doing this hard, ugly, hard work, but it's making something move forward. That's the word that Luke uses to describe Mark. Now, I want you to understand, Mark is just an ordinary person. He's nothing really dramatically special. But God is going to use this ordinary person who has a willingness to do the hard work, sometimes behind the scenes, and God's going to advance his kingdom through this under rower. Now, I want you to think of the person who gave you comfort at some point in your life. I wonder, was there any of them who you would say that under-rower, that helper word of the hard work that they did in order to provide something beneficial? Do you see that quality in that comforter? Somebody who worked hard, sacrificed, maybe gave extremely sacrificially so that something else could happen that would benefit you. They sacrificed, they worked hard, they invested their time and energy, and the result of that was that it brought relief, aid, and comfort to you. Now, fall is a beautiful picture of this. It seems like almost every fall there's a story of harvest where somebody, the man who owns the farm is down with cancer and can't bring the crop in. And invariably, friends from the neighborhood will bring their combines in and will harvest the field. Before they've even gotten to their stuff, they will harvest the field for the person who's in trouble. And you see that picture of the under-rower, this willingness to be able to sacrifice hard so that somebody else could get a benefit. Now, let's speak two things. Number one, no benefit happens in another person's life without sacrifice in some person's life. In order for a benefit to be applied to somebody, someone has to make a sacrifice. Someone has to choose to say, I'm going to do without, or I'm going to do later, or I'm going to surrender this so that this person can have benefit. That's the only way it happens. And in that picture is somebody who's this under-rower saying, that's okay, I can put my needs on the sideline, and I'm going to provide because this need is most present now. It's almost as if they're hearing this whisper from heaven, comfort, please, comfort my people. Who will go? Now, it's interesting. Mark travels with them for this missionary trip. Barnabas and Paul are on a missionary trip. And midway through the trip, verse 13 of chapter 13 of Acts, Mark is mentioned again. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Okay, now this John is this John Mark, okay? Now, midway through this journey, John leaves. We don't know why. Some people have thought maybe he got homesick as they're doing the mission trip and that he decides to go back to Jerusalem. Some have thought that maybe his mom was in need or somebody was in need back in Jerusalem, and so he left what he was doing here and went back to try to help at home, that his helper nature was going back to try to help in a different situation. Now, that didn't sit very well with the Apostle Paul. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. So this is about 3 years now, follow the timeline. Barnabas and Paul have gone on their trip, took about 2 years to do their trip. 1 or maybe 6 months into the trip, John Mark leaves and goes home. Paul and Barnabas are now telling the people about their trip and how things had gone. It's about 3 years now since they left with John Mark, and now they're getting ready to start another trip. Verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we've preached the word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Now that's his cousin, or his nephew. And Barnabas wants to, okay, let's give him another shot. Let's see if we can do this again. But Paul, verse 38 says, did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and did not continue in the work with them. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay, here's this interesting story in Mark's life. Mark has disappointed Paul to the significant amount that Paul might describe Mark as a miserable comforter. So I want to ask, what's happened between this event, which happened about AD 51, and AD about 8 years later, 9 years later in AD 60, where Paul says, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus have proven to be a real comfort to me. So let me ask this storyline in you. Was there ever a time in your life when you were facing a difficult time and the comforters didn't come? Or they didn't show up? You kept hoping that God would send somebody. You kept praying that God would send somebody. But nobody came. Now, you sensed through that time that God hadn't abandoned you, but you wondered why nobody was helping. Now, I know that there's times in our life when people who have maybe been sent to help don't finish the task, and the comfort is only half provided, or sometimes the comfort isn't provided. All you have is to rely on God and that he's going to work something out without some human solace to be able to be provided for you. Can I ask you, please, this story of Mark's life would ask you to not give up or not begrudge the people who didn't come around in that specific time when you missed help. Now, in your mind, you were probably thinking, I'm sure this person will stop by. They'll write a note. They'll say something. But nothing. Or you're thinking, God's going to do something. Out of nowhere, God's going to provide somebody that's going to say something to us, that's going to lift us up or help us come to our aid. But because we live in a broken world, even though God is saying, comfort, comfort, someone comfort my people, it's oftentimes here on earth, nobody hears that whisper. Nobody pays attention to that call from heaven. Or nobody responds when that whisper happens in their ear. I just want you to know there will be times when the comforters will fail you. But I'd like you to hear the story of Paul and Mark. And I'd like you to believe maybe that story could be redeemed. The person who maybe didn't provide comfort at some point now will come. And here Paul is in Rome. And he's almost 1,800 miles away from Jerusalem where John Mark lives. But you know who's with him in this prison in Rome? John Mark. For some reason, John Mark, who had heard Paul's disappointment that he didn't want Mark to travel with him, John Mark comes and starts to give consolation to Paul. And Paul says, Mark has proven to be a real comfort for me. Now, I'm going to take you to one other verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at verse 11, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, this is the last letter Paul's writing. We believe it's about 64 to 65, 66, somewhere in there. He's anticipating he's going to be arrested by Nero. He's going to be killed for being a preacher of the gospel. And he's writing a letter to Timothy in Ephesus. And he's telling Timothy, hey, I want you to bring somebody to me. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is still with me. Who does he say? Get Mark. Bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Wow. You remember what Luke said about Mark in Acts chapter 13? Luke said Mark went along with them because he was their helper, their under rower. And in the middle of that time, Paul's view of Mark is less than favorable. But as Paul comes to the end of his life, he looks back at Mark and he says, Mark, I need Mark because he's helpful to me in my ministry. So there's two things I want to ask. Number one, is there somebody who has failed you in the past? And would you just say, God, I'm going to leave the door open. I've been disappointed pretty severely. Time I needed comfort, they didn't provide it. But God, I'm going to open the door. I want you to do, if it's possible, if this is what you're going to do, I want you to do a Paul and Mark story. And if it's possible at some point in my life that person is going to be, once again, a valued helper, a reliable comforter for me. God, I just pray that you'd open my heart so that I could be able to embrace them and acknowledge them for who you created them to be. Second is, there may be somebody in your life who, even right now, the Holy Spirit's saying, you missed the opportunity. It may have been last month, it may have been 2 years ago, it may have been 5 years ago. You missed an opportunity. And right now, your relationship with that person is struggling and frayed. It's a source of bitterness or pain for one of you. And I want you to pray, God, would you do the Paul and Mark story in that situation? I failed. I should have been there to provide comfort. I should have been able to be trusted and relied upon. But I abandoned it. Or I ignored it. And I want to ask you today, would you just say, God, if it's possible, would you let me once again become that reliable comforter for that person? And would you allow them the grace to be able to receive my effort to try to bring peace and solace to them in their need? Here's three things I want you to, just some applications from this passage of Scripture. Number one, if you want to say, okay, how do I put this into practice? Number one, would you do this? Write down, comfort relieves isolation. In the middle of this story, Paul's talking about Aristarchus and Mark and Justice. Paul says, they're sending you greetings. Part of the idea of a comforter is a person who sees a need and expresses a concern to try to go and to provide help. Sometimes it's just a greeting to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, and a note that comes along, or it may be leaving to go, because misery oftentimes leads to isolation. If you're going through a hard time, it's kind of just natural for you to isolate yourself. You pretend to act like everything's normal. Nobody else can see what's going on, the turmoil that's going on in your world. Gatherings that you used to go to, you just don't feel like going to, and you just stay at home. And you start to isolate yourself. And God is saying in heaven, comfort, comfort, comfort my people. And someone is going to notice that you're isolating, you're withdrawing from the people who could be able to provide help. And I want you to know a comforter will extend itself to relieve isolation, will come to you. And even though sometimes when you're trying to approach that person, they're going to push you away. You've probably had that happen. They'll push you away. No, I don't want to meddle with you. I don't want to be a burden to you. But a comforter keeps pressing in because there's a need. And isolation is not the answer. Community is going to be the answer. So comfort relieves isolation. Secondly, comfort heals wounds. In this picture of Paul and Mark, we see how Mark's reliably living out his comfort gift starts to come back into favor with Paul. And all of a sudden, this broken relationship is healed. And the wounds that Paul had, or the wounds that Mark had from that division that happened between Barnabas and Paul, is all of a sudden resolved. And now Paul is affirming this unique way that God had gifted Mark. And Paul says in his last breath, in his last chapter that he writes, that we get recorded, Paul says, Mark is a helper. He's that under-rower type of person that just keeps doing it so he can move the gospel forward. And then the last thing I want you to notice is that comfort, people who are comforters, under-rower helpers, spread the kingdom of hope, spread God's kingdom. Now, let me make two really diverse applications here. My first thought is to these parents who are going to have their babies, their young daughters, dedicated. And I'm thinking of Mark's mother, Mary. And I wonder what it was in his early life that caused her to recognize that that was his personality bent, that Mark was a helper, that he was willing to do hard things, stay on a task. He was tending to be aware of people's needs and would try to help. I wonder if she noticed it when he was helping with things around the house as they were preparing to have people in their house for prayer. But somehow I imagine Mary whispering, Mark, you're different than your brothers and sisters. This is the way God made you. I want you to live this out. Let nobody cause you to doubt. This is who you've been created to be by God. I can see it. I see how God uses you to bless other people. You are a comforter. You are a helper. Live that out. I don't know if she whispered that, if she prayed those prayers as he was going to bed at night. I don't know what it looked like, but parents, I don't care what age your kids are, but you have an opportunity to be able to speak into them the identity of what God has created them to be. And they may not be a star or the major manager in the company, but if they have learned to be a comforter, an under-rower, they will advance the kingdom of God. They will help other people around them succeed because they're doing the hard work. They're like those names on the end of the movie that go so fast you can't read them. Remember? Those are all the people who made the movie work. And all you know are the directors and the main characters. But there were some under-rowers there that made that happen. Mom, Dad, I want you to speak into your kids exactly who God has created in them. You see it. You see it being lived out in their personality. I want to encourage you, speak that into their life. Because it may be someday, somebody down the road is going to see the very same thing that you saw, Mom. And you say, you know, you are constantly reliable to do this. I see this every time you handle something. You provide order in this chaos. Or you provide help when nobody else wanted to help. And your daughter or your son is going to say, yeah, you know what? Mom said God created me this way. I still think it's best for me to live the way God created me to be. Here's the second application. There's a lot of people here at Kingsway who are doing kingdom work, and you don't even notice it. They're under rowers. The ship's moving forward. The church is trying to reach lost people, to help lost people discover that there's hope in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and raised again, actually gives us victory over sin, transforms us from bondage into freedom. And there's people who are giving tithes and offerings so that the church can accomplish that mission. So here's one of the things I want to challenge you with. We're going to move into a communion time where we see how much God gave so that we could have reconciliation with him. And we're going to come to our harvest offering. And can I ask you, I don't want you to give just because we do this all the time. Now, once a year, the church takes a special offering above and beyond what you put in the plate as a harvest offering. I don't want you to do it for that. Can I ask you, is it possible? Is it possible that sometimes in the under parts of this church, where we got kids learning about Jesus, or people who are helping behind the scenes, is it possible that the kingdom is going to be advanced because of people like a Mark? People who don't get a lot of the prime attention, but they have done everything they can so that the gospel could go a little bit farther, so that somebody else could be able to succeed in their ministry. And they are the under rowers. And here's what my prayer would be. When you give an offering, give out of gratitude for how God's blessed you. But could I ask you, would you give at a higher level so you could say, God, could you advance us farther? What would you do if I actually gave double what I had thought? Because nobody's going to know what I gave. Nobody's going to know how much of a sacrifice it was for me. But I just want you to know, behind the scenes, God, I want you to know I'm all in. I'm in because I want to help advance the mission. So to prepare for that offering, we're going to get ready for communion. So I'm going to ask the praise band to come back up at this point. And we are going to move into a time of communion. We're going to stand together and sing a song as they kind of prepare us for that. And I'd like you just to take the next few minutes to do this one thing. Is it possible? Go ahead and stand. Yeah, go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask you just to let the Holy Spirit prompt you as you come to this time of communion. And would you let God prompt you to acknowledge the people around your life who have been a comforter for you? Would you receive God's grace for the time when you failed to be a comforter for someone else? Would you allow God to give you the grace to forgive someone else who's maybe missed helping you at some point? Would you just release that? Lay that at the cross here, because Jesus Christ has paid for all of those failures. And then I want to ask you, if Jesus was all in so that he could advance this message that there's hope, salvation, a way to back to God, then I want to ask you, would you say, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't know that I have a lot to offer. But God, whatever you've created me to be, I'm going to offer all of me. I'm going to be all in so that lost people could discover that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I believe lives can be transformed. And I believe my life could be able to help in part of that transformation story. I don't know if Mark ever led anybody to Christ. He might have. But through Mark's ministry to Paul, thousands of people heard the gospel and came to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll enter into this song. Father God, I thank you for the chance to be able to take this time here as a church body and to celebrate people, common, ordinary people, who provided comfort, encouragement, help to us in our times of need. And Father, I'm just thinking about the community, just this neighborhood right around us. Boys Town across the street to the north, neighborhood to the south, businesses and neighborhoods to the east and west. And God, I'm just imagining, in heaven, are you calling out on behalf of any one of those homes, someone, please comfort my people? God, if there's places right around us, broken marriages, failures, financial struggles, health issues, faith questions, God, I pray that you would whisper through your Holy Spirit here on earth. Would you make Kingsway a place where we would be able to spread the hope of Jesus one person at a time, that we would respond and take your comfort to the places where it's desperately needed. So however your Holy Spirit wants to move in us today, Father, we just surrender ourselves and we confess our belief is we would die for this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His life and death and resurrection redeems us from our sin. And no one is so far gone that Jesus, you can't rescue them and turn their life around. So Father, help us to be the one who comfort those around us. And then Father, I pray that you would bring glory to yourself as you move us into that direction. In Jesus' name I pray.